welcome to episode 81 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello.
Hello.
So this week we are going to talk about fall/winter movies, and specifically the ones with some super awards potential, then the blockbusters, and then the ones that we personally are looking forward to the most. And we're going to kick things off with the awards category. Angie, you're going to take it.
Yeah, so I know that nobody likes it when you start the Oscar conversation too early, but we're moving into the fall season, which is when the bulk of, you know, Oscar and other awards hopeful movies start to come out. So I wanted to talk about two that I'm really looking forward to. One is The Danish Girl, which is directed by Tom Hooper and stars Eddie Redmayne as, I think her name is Lily Elbe. She's a transgender pioneer. And I feel like this is actually kind of a controversial pick because people have very mixed feelings about Tom Hooper, especially after Les Mis and after The King's Speech and all that stuff.
By mixed feelings, you mean a lot of people like him and some people like me think he's a hack.
Most of the people that I know, most of the cinephiles that I know are like, they hate him. I liked King's Speech. I guess other people didn't.
It's fine. It's just, it's the most, like, I feel like I literally could have predicted every shot of that movie.
Sure. But going back to The Danish Girl, his new movie, basically the main reason I'm looking forward to it is Alicia Vikander. I mean, just basically, she's been having a fucking killer year, and she has been amazing at everything that she's been in. And she's in this one, and based on the trailer, I think she's going to put in another really good performance. I also think that Eddie Redmayne is going to put in a performance, again, just based on the trailer, haven't seen the movie. I think he's going to put in another performance, kind of like the one that won him the Oscar last year, which is that it might be technically perfect, but I'm not sure if there's going to be much emotion behind it. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what she's doing, and it sounds like a really interesting story. So,
if Eddie Redmayne gets nominated or wins, what does that make him, like, the second actor to ever do that, like 2 years consecutively? Is that the stat? It's either nominated.
See, that's actually
or
what grosses me out about him taking this role a little bit. Like, I'm sure he's
that was
going
the
to
other thing
to,
I wanted to say yeah. about it being kind of controversial is there's already been some people that are annoyed that Eddie Redmayne, a cisgender man, is playing a transgender woman, and I completely see that. And so I feel like I'm so apologizing for this, like, pick for a movie that I actually want to see.
No, I mean, the thing is, I actually wrote about this for Pajiba the other day, where the trailer came out for the movie, and I'm like, I am torn, because I think the trailer looks promising, and I think they're genuinely trying to make sense of Lily's story in a way that is empathetic and trying to take into context the zeitgeist now that is much more trans-aware. But by hiring, you know, Eddie Redmayne, who is not just a cisgender man, which means someone who is born in a body that is male and identifies as male. It's also that he's coming off an Oscar win, so it feels a little political, like, I'm going to take another risky, daring role and transform myself physically, and I'm such a... And it's... I don't know. I'm torn, because it's not like I dislike him as an actor, but it seems like such a savvy career move that it makes me anxious. And then on top of that, I think Tom Hooper is a hack. So I'm nervous about The Danish Girl. So I think it's a good thing to bring up.
I think it's going to do, just based on the track record of these people, I think it's going to be a contender at the Oscars. I think it looks interesting. I am with you on being icky about the political aspects and not, I like Eddie Redmayne, I don't love him, but I'm looking forward to seeing how the movie turns out. But the other one that I wanted to talk about is Room, which stars Brie Larson and is based on a book about a woman who... The book is actually told from the perspective of a little boy who was born in a room and only lives there because his mom, it turns out, is being kept captive and has been for many years. She plays the mom. And that one, so Brie Larson is one of those actresses that I keep waiting for her to, like, really break out, but she hasn't gotten there quite yet.
Then she gets The Gambler.
She's, like, in stuff, but she's usually, like, a supporting player, or, like, the times that she is in a lead role is something like Short Term 12, which is well-regarded, but not exactly something that, you know, most people have seen. So I'm really excited for her to do what looks like it could be a really big breakthrough role for her, something that could kick her up to the next level.
I'm excited to see what Lenny Abramson can do with this too, because this is so incredibly different for him.
Yeah, well, he did Frank and What Richard Did, right? Those are both him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, neither of those two movies have anything in common either, so I guess he's just a guy that likes to mix it up.
And this trailer is heart-wrenching. Like, it is an upsetting trailer.
Have you ever read the book?
I haven't.
There's parts in the book that I'm rereading it now because I'm going to go see this at TIFF next week, and I'm rereading it, and some of the parts when I get to it, I'm like, how are you going to show this on screen in a way that's going to make me, like, be able to handle it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that actually leads really well into your choice, Perry.
Yeah, actually, that is a really good segue that I didn't even consider. So mine is In the Heart of the Sea. It's Ron Howard's next movie, and it stars Chris Hemsworth, Tom Holland, Cillian Murphy, Ben Whishaw, lots of very, very cute, nice to look at men who are basically all going to be...
And it's a whaling adventure.
And they're all going to be like emaciated and disheveled the entire movie, because the movie is about, it's actually based on a true story about a whale ship that goes out to sea and their ship runs into a whale. No spoiler, it's been in the trailer. And it's about, you know, a tale of survival and them trying to get home. And if you've ever read the book that tells the true story, this thing is freaking brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that there's no way they could put all of that book into this movie, not just for time's sake, but so people can actually watch this. Because if you've seen the trailer, you know it's supposed to be, you know, a big blockbuster epic. And I'm sure in the end it's supposed to be a heartwarming tale of survival and, like, families reuniting. But, I mean, there's some tough stuff in here. And I'm really curious to see
the way
what
they kill
the
whales.
Of the film ends up. Yeah. Well, that too. Out of all things, I guarantee you they kind of, like, sidestep that.
I mean, I remember reading the book, and there's, like, a point where they explain how they actually hunt down and kill the whales. And, like, as a modern audience member, where we're very distanced from where our food and things come from, like, listening to how they slaughter whales in the open ocean, I was just like, oh,
well, that's,
oh,
that's a very interesting thing about the book and the movie pairing, is I think that this could be a really unique adaptation in that you could go see this movie and then go read the book after, and it's not like you've spoiled the story for yourself, because there's lots of, like, historical details and background information and about how they kill the whales, and it will kind of, like, enhance what you just saw on screen.
Yeah, and the book is a good read, so I'm really curious to see how they take this story that inspired Moby Dick and translate it into a big motion picture.
All right, Christy, you want to take it for your last two?
Yeah, the movies award season-wise that I'm most looking forward to, well, the movie I'm most looking forward to is Hateful Eight, which is Quentin Tarantino's Western, and we've seen a lot of exciting things about it. I mean, of course, the script leaked, but I didn't read the script, and not because spoilers or whatever, but just because I was like, I want to be surprised when it gets made, and now it is, and it has Kurt Russell and Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Dern and Jennifer Jason Leigh and Christoph Waltz and lots of
Jennifer Jason Leigh in that trailer.
She's so badass! But yeah, it's basically about a bunch of Western folk who end up in one cabin together, stuck there during a snowstorm. And as you know, Tarantino has a really great skill for dialogue. And so I'm sure it's not going to just be this, like, dull, like, let's all sit around and talk at each other type movie. And I personally really like Western. Slow West is one of my favorite movies from this year. Stagecoach is one of my favorite movies ever. So I'm really excited to see Tarantino dig back into Westerns, because I thought Django Unchained was really fun. And I'm very interested to see what he does with this movie. And it's hitting at Christmas, so they clearly think it's an awards contender.
I'm craving that Quentin Tarantino feeling, too, you know? It's like, it's been 2 years. We're ready for another one. I was just rewatching Inglourious Basterds the other day, and it was like one of those things where it's like, his movies come on, and I sit down, and I must watch them all the way through. Like, even if I'm just looking at a clip to prep for an article, I gotta watch them all the way through. And I already catch myself watching the trailer for Hateful Eight over and over and over, like freeze framing on images I like and looking for little details here and there. So I'm quite pumped for this one as well.
Yeah, and then the other movie I picked is... I just feel like we have to talk about it. I'm not even excited. It's so Black Mass is the next Johnny Depp movie, and Johnny Depp has just become the bane of my professional career, because every time I feel like I've just gotten out of the shadow of another stupid fucking Johnny Depp movie, here comes another one. And Black Mass is directed by Scott Cooper, who did Crazy Heart and Out of the Furnace. Crazy Heart I thought was great and slow and interesting. And then Out of the Furnace I thought was just slow. So I don't know with Black Mass, guys. I just don't know. It's got a really exciting cast. There's Benedict Cumberbatch in it. And Angie, you want to take this?
Well, I was going to say, Black Mass, so when the first trailer came out, some people were like, is this a return to form for Johnny Depp? And I don't fucking see it. I think his performance looks like another modern day Johnny Depp performance, which is that he's piled on the makeup and the tics and, like, uglied himself out and, like, is passing that off as good acting.
When's the last time we've seen him just, like, act as Johnny Depp, you know?
In the beginning of Transcendence, where he couldn't fucking do it.
Yeah, oh, but Perry missed Transcendence because she was making a movie.
Oh, that's a much...
Oh, okay. I did. And I still... even though you two hating it so much has kind of made me curious just to see it for the hell of it, I have
it's
yet to
bother. It's your funeral, Perry, okay? If you want to watch it, fucking watch it.
When I don't show up for the recording next week, you'll know what I did.
She's transcended.
Johnny Depp killed me.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. People are excited about that one. I think it's playing at TIFF, isn't it?
It is. It is. I just heard about some screenings. I'm debating whether to squeeze it into the schedule. I don't know though.
I feel like we'll probably review it solely because people like watching me get angry about Johnny Depp.
I don't know if I'm interested enough.
We'll see. But yeah, but there are movies that I'm quite looking forward to this this year that are not awards, or that are not blockbusters, but or that are not award season shows, but rather blockbusters. And for me, I'm really pumped about The Good Dinosaur.
And that's actually probably going to be in the awards conversation, come to think of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it'll definitely be in the awards conversation for like animated. It's usually harder. There's a lot of weird biases that keep those things out of some of the other things like directing and whatever. But The Good Dinosaur is directed by Pete Sohn, who did that short Partly Cloudy that people enjoyed so much. And there's talent in it, but it's not an animated movie that's cruising on the talent. You've got Jeffrey Wright and Steven Zahn and Anna Paquin and Sam Elliott, but none of these are really people that people go like, ooh,
has
Sam
Elliott ever released two movies in 1 year? Like, were they competing against each other?
No, but I think the reason that we have two this year is because The Good Dinosaur was supposed to open last year and it got pushed to this year.
And, like, didn't they do a complete overhaul on that voice cast,
they changed
too?
The story. They changed, like, the entire voice cast. It was a whole thing. They changed the director.
I remember I had spoken to John Lithgow, who was supposed to be in the voice cast, and he had, like, a whole story for me about re-recording some of his stuff, and, like, a couple weeks later, it's like, yeah, they're all gone, and we got new people now.
You know, that's not a bad thing, though. That's actually, they did something really similar on Ratatouille, and also on Shrek, when DreamWorks did with Shrek, but with Ratatouille, they brought in Brad Bird, they, like, cut out a huge segment of the plot, and like when you listen to on that DVD, they have like what they did and how they built that story, and I think it made the story better, like based on where that story had started and where that story ended up. So that's the thing with Pixar, is like they will do something as dangerous as delaying a movie for a year and scrapping an entire cast and starting over, which like means you're paying a whole new group of people to make a whole new movie. So basically the budget for this movie is effectively the budget of almost two movies. And, you know, they trust in story enough that they do that. So I'm really interested to see what The Good Dinosaur is going to be.
Yeah, it's not like that part worries me. It's just an interesting detail, something to keep in mind. I will say, like, I saw they did, like, a presentation in New York where they showed us, like, 5 minutes of footage. This was before even the trailer came out, so it was very exciting for me. And, like, it's 5 minutes, and I could just feel tears stinging my eyes. And I was like, God damn it, Pixar. There was, like, not even any dialogue in that scene that I was watching. And I was just like, how is this already, like, how am I already on the verge of tears for, like, a scene in the middle of a movie I haven't seen?
I'm a little nervous it's going to have, like, the puppy effect on me to an extreme. It's like I'm going to start looking at these dinosaurs like cute little pets, and, like, anything they do is going to make me start crying.
I have to say, though, this is actually, they're billing it as it's a movie about a boy and his dog, but the boy is a dinosaur and the, wait, but the boy is a dinosaur and then the dog is the boy.
Oh.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, reversed.
Yeah. So if anything, I guess you need to go out and, I don't know, find a
cute, because it's like a cave boy, you know?
Yeah, right. So I'm going to transition into the next thing just right now, bluntly, because they have nothing to do with each other. Well, they are both possibly heartwarming. Anyway, so the movie, the blockbuster that I wanted to talk about is The Night Before, which is directed by Jonathan Levine and stars Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as, like, three friends that go out for a crazy night on Christmas Eve. And honestly, I haven't loved any of Jonathan Levine's movies, but I actually got pretty high hopes for this one. I'll admit that I did the set visit, and I'll admit that I'm a little bit biased because of it, because I, you know, enjoyed it and liked what I had heard about it. But basically, I think that I feel like there aren't really that many Christmas movies that I personally can relate to as, like, a cynical person in my early 30s. So I'm kind of looking forward to having one. Plus, the three of them just look like they're going to be really fun together. They're incredibly charismatic actors. The supporting cast looks great.
Well, like, the three of us got to do that stuff together, which was a lot of fun. And, you know, we got to see the three actors, Anthony Mackie, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Seth Rogen, interact together. And that was really fun. And we got to talk to, like, Jonathan Levine. They were like, okay, Jonathan's done now. He's going to lunch. And he's like, I can keep talking to you guys. And, like, he talked to us for, like, an hour. Like, he was so excited about this movie. And it was interesting to see, I'm interested to see how his enthusiasm plays out in the movie itself, but also we all turned in set visits about this, but there are things that we weren't allowed to say in the set visit. And I'm just going to say this, there are going to be a lot of cameos in this movie that make it worth seeing, even if you don't give a shit about Christmas or any of the main stars. This movie is just packed to the gills with people that had me excited.
I also just really liked what he was saying about the tone of the movie and the balance of, you know, Seth Rogen, his style of comedy with Christmas tropes and how they're going to play with that and how they're going to play with, you know, like having so many dick jokes in it, but at the same time still having it feel like a heartwarming movie that anybody in that age range can relate to. It sounds like it could be a really unique mix that's fun to watch, but also make that like lasting impression like a good majority of his other movies.
I think you said it all.
Okay, so now I'm going into mine. Again, I've got no appropriate transition for this, but
I was trying to, it was like stars.
Or yeah.
Well, one of them's about Christmas and one of them's coming out right before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, really anybody could have guessed that this was going to be featured on the show in some respect. I went for the obvious choice and I'm saying Star Wars The Force Awakens. And I mean, like, I've had Star Wars on the brain more so than I ever have in my life. And I was a big Star Wars kid growing up. I still cherish my VHS box set of the original trilogy, and I will not let my parents throw it away for anything. And I don't even have anything that can play it. But ever since The Force Awakens first teaser trailer came out, I've kind of been convinced that J.J. Abrams is actually on the right track, and he could be delivering the next installment that I want. And now with Force Friday coming out and the movie getting closer and closer, it's like, it doesn't really matter how many images, how many toys. I mean, I could have watched that unboxing shit all day long. I've watched God knows how many BB-8 videos and commercials at this point. Everything about this just seems like what I want.
I feel like you were sold the moment that they showed you BB-8. You were just like, yep, I'm in. Take all my money.
Yeah. Was the first shot of BB-8 in that trailer where he pokes his head out? No, that's when he's rolling.
It was the teaser, I think.
Okay, that was like the second one where he pokes his head out. I think he's rolling. I'm a BB-8 stalker, okay? I've admitted it. I'm going to buy that toy.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who I actually wasn't like a huge fan of Star Wars as a kid, so I felt like I felt like, oh, you know, a new movie's coming out, that'll be nice, I'll see it, I'm not that excited. But honestly, as the marketing keeps ramping up, maybe it's just a testament to how good Disney's marketing team is, but I'm getting more and more excited. I'm really excited about the new characters. The cast is fantastic. I'm thrilled that John Boyega is going to be the one of the leads in this, not to mention Oscar Isaac. And, well, I don't know anything about Daisy Ridley, but judging by the rest of the cast, I'm just going to assume that she's also great.
You know, I actually think it's serving the Star Wars The Force Awakens marketing campaign really well, that there's a lot of good news coming out about the future installments and the spin-off movies, too. It's like, what was announced the other day? It was the Episode 8 shortlist, and Tatiana Maslany was on it, and Gina Rodriguez and Olivia Pope. And, you know, seeing that list and imagining the characters from The Force Awakens carrying over and possibly interacting with whoever one of those actresses will play, like, that right there made me even more excited for The Force Awakens. So I think it's just this big thing that's spiraling out of control and will hopefully, like, explode in December with an epic new installment.
Yeah, and I think that they're actually being really smart in their advertising, too, just in, even in the social media account. I know you guys probably heard about someone criticized Captain Phasma's armor and saying it didn't look feminine enough, and they were like, it's armor. It doesn't need to be feminine. And, like, the fact that the official account said that, which was, like, just such a simple shutdown, and that went viral, because people, like, are hungry for that. People are hungry for women to have a bigger role in the Star Wars universe like they have in the expanded universe. And I like that it looks like the movie is, if not maybe this one, going to do that a whole lot. I'm nervous because Daisy Ridley in the poster is front and center. She has the Luke thing, and it's a huge step away from where we were when, like, Leia was wrapped all around Luke's leg in the poster. But I'm like, I'm nervous. I hope I'm because we know this movie is going to be huge. It's going to be the hugest movie of 2015, hands down. There's just no fucking contest. But I'm hoping it lives up to the hype.
Well, that's a good transition, because I think there's only one movie left that will, you know, maybe come close to being at least one of the biggest movies of the year. So this last section, we're going to pick our favorites for the months to come. And mine is Mockingjay Part 2. And I don't think it's going to end up coming close to The Force Awakens. But I think a lot of people, there was some sort of official poll that was released today. And like, I don't know what makes this poll more important than anyone else's poll, but where Mockingjay is actually the most anticipated movie of the fall season. And again, I just want to clarify, I don't know if like people are considering fall movies, like up until November. For all I know, Star Wars might not have even been included in that poll, but Mockingjay has got a serious fan base, and that franchise has really just earned it. It's earned to hit this point where it's going to wrap up and people are going to freak out about it, and it's had a really nice build story-wise, especially with Mockingjay Part 2 and where that wraps up. It's like people need to see, I'm sorry, Mockingjay Part 1 and how that wraps up. It makes it so everybody needs to see Mockingjay Part 2 now, and you know, I'm totally buying into it. I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so Francis Lawrence took over as director for starting with the second one, which I felt was like a huge improvement over the first one, and then I felt like the third one was an improvement over the second one even, so I mean, he set the bar really high for himself, so I'm sorry, bro, you've got a lot of work to do, but I personally am really excited for it. There's a lot of like, you know, so if the first one I felt like was satisfying too, but there's a lot of things that were definitely set up there that haven't paid off, and it's all going to come to a head in this one, and
Have you guys read the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like very excited to see what actually happens and what doesn't and how they show certain things.
Yeah. I'm also excited because I think that this is a franchise where the cast does not seem over the franchise yet, which is something we have not seen a lot lately. I mean, you think about like Twilight and even Harry Potter, like those kids hung in there for a really long time, but toward the end, you kind of felt they got the feeling of like, we're ready for this to be done. I feel like the Hunger Games people hit it in a sweet spot where it's only been four movies and it's all come pretty quickly. So, and I feel like Jennifer Lawrence still loves the character in the movie. So I feel like when we get the press tour, we're not going to have that horrifying thing that we've been having with, like, for instance, Avengers Age of Ultron, where you got the feeling that no one wants to fucking talk about these movies.
I can almost guarantee that that's not going to happen, because that was one of the most refreshing things I did the entire time I was at Comic-Con, was get on that press line and talk to, like, you know, I had like a question with Jennifer Lawrence, but I had a pretty decent amount of time with Josh Hutcherson, and he was just like so freaking genuinely happy to be there.
Yeah.
And he was like excited, even though maybe one or two of the questions I asked, he's probably heard like three or four times, like within that day alone. But I think they just did. I think Lionsgate also deserves a lot of credit for the marketing of that whole franchise.
Yeah, and we've said that a lot on the show. That's totally true. Speaking of marketing that is killing it, my most anticipated movie of the fall is Crimson Peak. Because, guys, from that first trailer, I didn't need to see anything else. I wanted to just see this movie and just live in it and roll around in it. It's the Guillermo del Toro-directed movie that is about a family and probably incest, definitely ghosts, definitely lots of blood. It's one of those I don't totally understand what's happening in the trailer, and I don't care. Partially because the cast is amazing. It's Jessica Chastain and Tom Hiddleston and Mia Wasikowska. For some reason, Charlie Hunnam is listed first on the IMDb page, which it's like IMDb doesn't understand that no one gives a shit who Charlie Hunnam is.
I will say the IMDb order sometimes just has no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, like sometimes it could go by their star poll or alphabetical. Yeah.
Whatevs. Point being, this cast is bonkers. It looks so good. Perry actually got to do a set visit, so I'm crazy jealous.
I find it interesting that you bring up that you like don't really know how to wrap your head around the story yet, because when we were on set, it was one of those set visits where normally when you go on a set visit, first thing they'll pull you into a room and they'll break down the story and who everyone's playing.
So you can ask articulate questions.
Nope. We were ushered into that house, and the house featured in the movie is a fully built three-story house, easily one of the most incredible things I've ever seen on a soundstage in my life. And then we talked to the cast, and we didn't really know how everybody connects. And I mean, since I've done my research, and I kind of do know where things are going, but if you like that trailer, I think as long as the movie is good, I think that everybody will like that movie too.
Yeah, I feel like when I saw the trailer, it just felt like I wanted to just like live in this world and hang out, and I don't even care what the plot is or what happens in the movie. Like, I just want to like be in this house and like stare at these people. It's kind of it's actually, in that sense, it kind of was like how I felt about Only Lovers Left Alive, another Tom Hiddleston movie. Where I was like, I don't care what's happening. I just want to like hang out and just sit here and just be like enveloped in this awesomeness. And that's what the Crimson Peak trailer looked like to me. Okay, so moving on to my most anticipated movie of the fall, I'm going to talk about Spectre, because I loved Skyfall. I mean, that's like that's the beginning and the end of why I'm so excited for Spectre, honestly, is that I loved Skyfall. I thought it did a really good job of, like, you know, doing that thing where it's kind of gritty and dark, but, like, not so gritty and dark that it can't be fun and playful and enjoyable and just flat out entertaining. So I'm really excited to see what happens when Sam Mendes and Daniel Craig team up again in Spectre. Not to mention, like, you know, the cast is good. Like, you know all the returning people already, obviously, like Daniel Craig and Ralph Fiennes and, like, Ben Whishaw and Naomi Harris. But it's also adding Monica Bellucci, Lea Seydoux, Christoph Waltz, and, Dave Bautista. I was like, oh, the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, so, and, you know, as usual, it's got all these glamorous locations. Like, the trailers are leaning really heavily on this Day of the Dead celebration set in Mexico that just looks like whatever happens, it's going to be kind of stunning to watch.
I liked Skyfall a lot, but I've never really been that big of a James Bond fan. And I think I'm blaming the marketing campaign on failing to kind of, like, hook me and get me to want to know more. It's like, did you see the first poster they revealed for this movie?
The Archer one?
It was legit just, like, Daniel Craig standing there in his suit holding his gun. And I'm like, oh, like,
yeah, I've seen this.
All right, we're getting another Bond movie. Like, that's what this, yeah, again. The footage looks good that we've seen in the trailer so far. But I can't say that, like, anything has really hooked me where I really care to know, you know, more about Bond's past or whatever. This is why we should be doing video, because Angie's very unhappy with me right now. I'm just making faces at me. But, like, all right, I'm going to see this, and, you know, if it's anything like Skyfall, I'm sure I'm going to like it. But right now, this is not very high on my list.
Yeah, it makes me nervous just because I've seen a lot of spy movies this year, and I'm kind of hoping by the time we get to Spectre, I'll be excited for them again. Because, like, I'm just like, I fucking get it!
See, I had the opposite thing, where I was like, I've seen a lot of spy movies this year, but, like, I mean, Bond is so prominent in our culture that it always kind of feels like every spy movie is kind of commenting on Bond somehow, so I'm kind of excited to just, like, go back to what Bond is now. Especially because Daniel Craig doesn't have that much time left on his contract, so, you know, gotta enjoy that while you
can.
Yeah,
he's suggested this might be the last on his contract.
Yeah, he's doing, you know how you guys were talking about, like, how the Hunger Games cast is still so excited about making them? That same thing is not
he's
happening
like,
with Daniel
so
Craig.
Whatever. Like, I don't fucking care. Hire Idris. I'm out. I don't give a shit.
Yep. But I trust him to put in a good performance anyway, because he is a goddamn professional, and I think that it's going to be great.
Totally.
Alrighty, so that is our wrap on our fall preview episode, episode 81. Thank you guys so much for listening. We would love for you to go over to iTunes, where you can subscribe and also rate and comment about the show, which we love to read. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter, @popcornprosecco. Please like us over on Facebook. And then you can catch all three of us all over the internet as well. Angie, you want to go first?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, @AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
Christy?
Yeah, I write all over the web, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com, and on Twitter, I'm @ChristyPutchko.
And you can catch my writing on collider.com, and my Twitter handle is @PNemiroff. So, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time!